Welcome to the latest edition of the Registers of Scotland podcast. I'm Roman Smith and I'll be today's podcast host. Today we'll be talking about how Registers of Scotland plans to deliver the benefits of a completed land register. I'm joined by Fiona McKee, Head of Land Register Completion at ROS. Thank you so much for joining me today, Fiona. It'd be great to start by finding out a little bit about yourself and your role at ROS.
Hi, thanks, Roman. Yes, my name's Fiona McKee. I'm the Head of Land Register Completion here at Registers of Scotland. I've been working in this area for a couple of years now, working with all the teams in ROS, looking at how we can both complete Scotland's Land Register, but more recently, looking at how we can achieve the benefits of a completed Land Register, which is hopefully what we're here to talk about today.
Thanks, Fiona. As I mentioned at the start of the podcast, today we are talking about our plans to deliver the benefits of a completed land register. To start things off, would you be able to give our listeners a bit of context? It'd be great to hear a bit more on our journey so far before we start to talk about our plans for the future.
Thanks, Roman. So back in 2014, Scottish ministers invited the public sector to accelerate completion of the land register, and we were given a target date of 2024. Since then, we've added quite a lot to the land register, nearly 23% of Scotland's landmass to the land register. We've received over 29,000 voluntary registrations. We've completed keeper-induced registration on over 124,000 addresses, including close to 90,000 local authority properties. We've registered approximately 87% of all addresses which we believe are likely to transact in Scotland. And this actually equates to over 48% of Scotland's landmass, with around another 6% of landmass in the process of being registered. I'd like to maybe just take a couple of minutes, though, to explain a couple of terms I just used and explain the methods we used to get to this point. I suppose it's best to mention that each of these methods has had good results, and it really has helped us make significant progress against our goals. However, each mechanism has its limits. So, first of all, keeper-induced registration. That's where the keeper uses specific powers given to her by legislation to add land and property to the register directly. It only works in specific types of properties, and these are mostly urban, where we know a lot of information about the surrounding properties, their boundaries and extents. So we know that we can't use keeper-induced registration in every circumstance, and it's not necessarily something that we can use a lot in the next few while. In terms of voluntary registration, this is where people, organisations such as large landowners or a lot of the organisations in the public sector proactively applied and are applying to move their property from the seizing register to the land register. Now, voluntary registrations really do depend on a number of things, including time, money, resource and the inclination to apply. And we did a lot of engagement on the voluntary registration side of things in the last few years. And we continue to engage with stakeholders on a voluntary registration. We continue to accept voluntary registrations in. However, we know that this is a limited number of applications that we think we will get between now and the 2024 deadline. And market churn, that's just where properties are being bought and sold. It's also a way in which we can add land and property to the register. However, this all depends on the rate of housing market activity. And looking ahead, our projections suggest that we cannot expect all land and property in Scotland to transact before 2024 using these methods alone. So we've done a bit of thinking recently about the additional things that we can do to make sure our customers still get everything they need from our registers. And what we've come up with is what we think is a pragmatic solution to this problem.
Thanks, Fiona. That was a really great recap and explanation of some of the things that we've been doing here at ROS. As you say, some of this will be new to our listeners, so hopefully that has summed it up nicely for you. So last week, we published our 2022 corporate plan. In this, we talk about how the focus has changed from completing the land register to delivering the benefits. Is this the pragmatic solution that you're talking about? Would you be able to tell us a bit more about this?
So there's two core benefits. One of them is around quick and efficient land and property transactions. And the other is around data and insight to improve transparency. And that's really to help us to answer that question, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard about, which is who owns Scotland. So it's having that information, that insight and that data to allow us to more comprehensively answer that question. So If we are able to achieve those benefits, it means our customers and our stakeholders should enjoy fast, efficient transactions and have easy access to this data. So, and as I've said earlier, whilst the register will not be 100% by 2024, I expect through focusing on the benefits, it will have little impact on our customers and their stakeholders, thanks to the approaches that we're now taking. Those three approaches are firstly around focusing on functional completion. The second one is around improving turnaround times of our casework to ensure this level of efficient transaction, and also on unlocking savings. And that's a new approach that we've been working on for the last year. And we've went through a pilot stage and we're now into live, where we're using data held within and the savings register to support us and broaden the amount of data that we're able to provide to answer that last question around who owns Scotland. But I want to just stress and just make sure that I say it again, the longer term goal is, of course, 100% completion of the land register. But we want to focus on this revised approach so that we can continue to meet our customers' needs for now. It offers what I think is a pragmatic solution and provides better value because it's using particularly our human resources, our people, our skills, our talented registration teams. It uses their abilities to the best advantage, and it will hopefully give customers the confidence that we're committed to delivering tangible real world benefits for our service users.
Thanks, Fiona. You touched briefly there on unlocking savings. Now, we've had some blogs out recently covering that topic, but for our new listeners, would you be able to tell us a bit about what unlocking savings actually is?
Yes, of course. Thanks, Roman. This is a really interesting one for me to talk about, actually. I really enjoyed working on unlocking savings because it really was an idea that was come up with internally that we really wanted to see if we could make it work. And at the start, we knew that it had benefits or it had potential. But what we've done is we've taken that idea and now we're actually delivering some great benefits. So it's been a real privilege to be part of. So really, in essence, unlocking savings is our approach to making data held within the general register of savings more accessible. And as a result, it's actually speeding up the process of us being able to answer that question of who owns Scotland. What we're doing is we're taking spatial data, and that's in the form of a shapefile, and we're using that to unlock this historic information that's in Seasons. So in Seasons, as a lot of the listeners will know, it's not map-based. It's the information's in there, but it takes a lot of skill and a lot of experience to be able to search Seasons. By using the spatial data, we're using a very small team of our specialists in ROS to search Seasons, matching spatial data, matching these shape files with the Seasons search sheets, and providing what we're calling indicative ownership extents. So it's allowing us to first time really put what's in Seasons on the map, and therefore making it more helpful and more accessible. To date, through this process, we've worked with a few data providers that have given us this spatial data, and we've surfaced just over 23% of Scotland's landmass through this process. So I think, you know, that's only been with a very few number of people working on it, and in quite a short space of time. It just, first of all, means that the Register of Seasons is going to continue a bit longer than anticipated. I think some listeners might have thought that the Register of Seasons was slowly being removed as we completed the land register. However, it's going to go some way to resolve some of the complexity and difficulty which can make this historic register challenging to work with. Indeed, this unlocking Seasons work can be a very helpful first step in establishing ownership, which is not yet known or shown in the land register. So as well as helping us to answer the question of who owns Scotland, it's actually taking as a small step forward from that process of moving it from Seasons onto land register. However, I should be clear and make sure that I'm highlighting here that this isn't property registration. This isn't a property register. We're not confirming ownership boundaries, and it's not a comprehensive display of all the Seasons titles. The thing to remember is that what we are showing is indicative ownership extent, and that's an outline with matched caesene cert sheets to the best of our knowledge. But when we do, and if we do, and when we do make this data more available, we will be making sure to explain that if you want to use that information for any form of formal registration, that a more comprehensive search probably will be required. And we will obviously continue to offer that as part of our property information team.
Thanks, Fiona. That was great. I'll also pop a link to our Unlocking Seasons blogs in the description for this podcast. So you've mentioned about our approach now is to deliver the benefits. So could you tell us about some of the benefits of a functionally complete land register for our stakeholders and what it means for our listeners?
So functionally complete land register is a term that we're using that states the point in time where the maximum benefit of the land register is afforded to citizens. So we believe that it will be functionally complete when the majority of land and property that transacts regularly is on the land register. And that will therefore provide citizens with the benefits that this registered status brings. So it gives the ability to transact more quickly and cost effectively. You'll obviously have a digital map-based record of land ownership with the boundaries that identify what you own, making it available in things like Scotlist. And obviously it comes with a state-backed warranty. We currently estimate that there are about 2.5 million addresses in Scotland that are likely to transact. And this includes property that changes hands regularly. So I'm talking about flats in urban areas, just houses in high streets up and down the country. But what we've done to calculate this kind of this point in time when we think that the majority is on there and the majority of the benefits will be realised, we've taken the total number of addresses in Scotland and we've taken out things like social housing, which are not able to be transacted on just now, our large rural estates, which is more likely to, if it was to move from seasons to land register, would more likely go through something like a voluntary registration. And it's much more planned in and tends to be something that we are aware of happening over time. So we've calculated around this number, around 2.5 million. When you take that as the target, it shows that actually we're currently sitting at about 87% of this. So our progress is pretty strong in this space. Most properties likely to transact, we believe, will be on the register by 2024. However, anything that is therefore left to come on, we are working on this, what I mentioned earlier around ensuring that our turnaround times for our casework is as efficient and as effective and as we're transparent about our turnaround times as possible. So anything that comes on after that 2024 kind of deadline, we are striving to complete within 35 days. And that'll happen unless there's a bespoke timeframe agreed, for example, with customers, particularly for quite complex cases. And we're working on that just now. So we're really striving hard at the moment to increase the percentage of applications that come into us that are turned around within those 35 days. And that really leads to that consistency and that certainty of service that we're striving to achieve now and we'll be working on right up until 2024.
Thanks, Fiona. So that was a whistle-stop tour of where we've been so far and the work that we're currently doing. So now let's look forward. What are the next steps on this journey? What do you see as the major milestones between now and 2024?
So I suppose the first one is what I've just said there in terms of really looking at our turnaround times, making sure that we are striving to really push up the percentage of our casework that is put out within that 35-day timeline. Whilst we're doing that, we're going to be publishing regularly every month. We will be putting on to new pages on ros.gov.uk the progress that we're making across the different streams that I've talked about. So how we're doing at a functionally complete land register, how we're doing in terms of answering that question, who owns Scotland? And that'll include how we're doing with our unlocking seasons work, as well as the percentage of land mass that is formally transferring over into the land register. So we're going to be doing that, as I say, monthly. We're going to be continuing to do stakeholder engagement. We did some sessions just in the last few months in the lead up to the corporate plan being published. I had some great meetings with key stakeholders, discussing how we've been getting on, telling them about our approach, talking to them about unlocking savings. We'll be continuing to engage with customers on voluntary registrations, for example, because we know in particular some of our customers have voluntary registrations with us that we're processing and that might want to bring more voluntary registrations in, and we want to keep talking about that and keeping up that good engagement with customers on that process. And we're also going to keep pushing forward with unlocking savings. So we've got data in-house that we're processing, but we're always looking for more spatial data to come in so that we can process more of Scotland. We might even look at more innovative ways of doing it. And rather than having data that's within that shapefile format that is provided to us in bulk, you know, who knows, maybe we could think of something more innovative, working with the likes of Geovation Scotland about how we can get real-time shapefile data sent to us. And we also want to start using some of that data to really start realising those benefits. So just as much as the customers are going to benefit from quick and efficient transactions, starting from now and as we move forward, up until the point we reach functional completion, we also want to make sure that the data that we're surfacing in terms of answering the question who in Scotland is benefiting, is being benefited from now. So working with end users, potentially identifying how we can share that data and how that data can be used, particularly in that really high macro level of policy making, which we know is one of the areas that we could benefit from this. So we'll be doing that. So there's quite a lot going on next year, yeah.
Sounds like it's going to be a very busy but exciting year for everyone involved. Thank you so much, Fiona, for joining me today. That was such an interesting discussion, and I hope that it's given our listeners more of an insight into our approach to delivering the benefits of a completed land register. You can find out more about our progress on our website, as Fiona mentioned. I'll pop the links in our description of the podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast at anchor.fm/registers of Scotland. This podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.